This morning, the title of the message is Arise. When the t-shirts were ordered and this was the verse that was planted on the back of them, it's a great verse, and the key word in the back in the circle is arise. So the message this morning is centered around one word, arise. And our text is Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. I'd like for you to read that with me. This is the NIV version. Let's read it. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Now, this next passage in your notes is the same verse from the Amplified Bible. Let's read that together. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I love the relevancy of the Bible. Did you catch this? Isaiah is saying to the people, arise. They had drifted from God. Previous chapters, they had gone astray. And yet at the end of chapter 59, it says, God says, because of my covenant with you, I've got grace. And so God's word to us today is he has grace for us because of his covenant with us. But it says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. I'm thinking, this is pandemic all the way. Depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. And he goes on to say, we need to shine. We need to be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for his light has come, and the glory of the Lord, the splendor of who he is risen upon you. I want to give you a definition of the word arise. It's in your notes. It means this. It means to get up. To get up from sitting, lying, or kneeling. Whatever position you're in life on the inside, it means to get up, to stand up, come into being, arise to action. Here's a picture of an article in USA Today, and it says experts say that May is a target possibility. And what it's saying in the article is the vaccine, it's being accelerated in production, and even by the end of May, it's possible to have enough vaccines through Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, to have every adult get vaccinated. It said it even could happen mid-April on. And then the article goes on to say, well, you know, then you go to the next level of college kids, and you just keep pushing, and the snowball gets a little bigger. But here's what it said in the article. The lady who is being interviewed, said, it looks like there's light at the end of the tunnel from the scarcity mentality. And I'm thinking, scarcity mentality, that's exactly how we feel. You know what happens when we are in circumstances beyond our control? We shrink. We can shrivel. Somehow life gets smaller. And as I thought about the past year, we are in that place where we've had to pull back and make adjustments. And we get this mentality that, wow, we don't feel like we're in charge and we've had to roll with this and adjust. But when you think about the word arise, God wants us to have an outlook despite the circumstances that we're dealing with. And he's saying to us today, it's time to get up on the inside. It's time to have a different view of tomorrow. And I thought about this article. It gives great hope for us all in terms of what's going on in our country and the world. And yet the scarcity mentality has to be dealt with. Now, I want to be clear that when we think of arising, I think some states have done away with mask requirements and opened up 100%. I think they're going a little too quick. We'll see how all that plays out. I'm still believing in masks until We're told that we don't have to wear them. We need to be careful. We need to be smart. But I want us to understand one thing today. God wants us to have an arise mentality. As a believer, as his children, we live life with a different perspective that God is for us and he's on our side. It's a call to action, a call to get up. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to share with you three thoughts about what must we do to arise. I mean, what is our part of it? What does God call us to do individually to feel like we're back more in control or in the driver's seat? And I would suggest it's a mindset and a heart commitment to what his word says about us in this situation. So three simple thoughts. What must we do to arise? Number one, we must reclaim what was taken from us. We must think about reclaiming what has been taken from us. I thought about this, and there's been a huge disruption of family get-togethers. You know, people that are huggers have had to refrain from that. I thought also, people that aren't huggers, they've had a great time this past year. They didn't have to worry about it. Family rhythms have been altered. Kids usually go to school. Mom or dad may go to work. Zoom keeps them home. Then they say, wow, do I need somebody to watch them? The family rhythms have been disrupted. How about church events? Soup. 252 kids, they're on hold. We're going to get soup going again in the near future. How about sports for kids? It's just been on hold, and although now they're trying to get it back going, which is wonderful. But we've been disrupted, and there's a sense of you and I have to reclaim what has been lost or taken away from us. Now, in the book of Joel, great couple of verses. I want you to read these with me. The people have gone through a tough time, and then here was God's promise to them. Let's read it in your notes. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pollerworm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. I want you to circle the word restore. God has the power to restore what the locust hath eaten. And that day it was their crops. And so he can bring wholeness or goodness back to people's lives. He's a restorer. Now, from a church perspective, you know, we continue with Operation Christmas Child and the food backpack program and the prayer chain and meals to people. There were ministries that continued. There's others that are still on hold. But I want us to be thinking differently going forward. We need to reclaim what has been taken from us. I want to talk about your individual life. Everybody here has had to deal with the pandemic and life itself on the inside. And chances are you're here today and you're at a place in your own individual life journey where you need something restored. You need to be made whole in a certain area. You feel like it's been taken away. It's like you've been robbed. It's like a thief entered your life. And God's promise is this. He can restore the years that the locust have eaten. The paralytic, John chapter 5. He's been paralyzed 38 years. And Jesus said, do you really want to get well? And he says, well, I don't have anybody to help me into the pool to touch the water after an angel stirred it to be healed. And you know what he said to this guy? He says, get up. He's been a paralytic for 38 years. He says, get up. He says, pick up your mat and walk. And the scripture says the guy did just that. He got up, he picked up his mat, and he walked. God may be speaking to you today. It's time to get up. He wants you to somehow get a hold of something and reclaim what was taken. You know, one word from God, one phrase, one scripture dropped into your spirit can change going forward, can change you. It may be a pain, a hurt in the past you've dealt with for years. You're struggling with one word from God, get up, can bring a sense of healing to it so that you feel empowered going forward and you're totally different. Acts chapter 3, a guy is crippled. He was born that way. He was a beggar at the temple gates. And Peter and John come along and the guy says, you got any money? And they said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I'll give you. And here's what, I believe it was Peter said, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Walk. The guy's crippled from birth, and Jesus steps into his life through his power, and he says, walk. And it says, taking him by the hand, he, Peter, helped him up. You see, individually in your life, God may be saying, it's time for you to reclaim, to be restored that which was taken from you. He says, get up. He says, stand up. Take hold of it. Have faith. Believe. Come before him and say, I'm claiming his power. I want to reclaim what was taken from me. From the church's perspective, going forward, I think we're at a stage where we need to begin to think differently and say, okay, we need to reclaim what was taken from us, ministries, opportunities. We make the best of what we can, and God has blessed it, but there's something different and better going forward. I got some slides. Here's the first one. John Maxwell. The greatest day in your life and mine is when we take total responsibility for our attitudes. That's the day we truly grow up. Your attitude, my attitude, is the difference maker going forward. It's how we see it. It's how we think about it. It's what we believe is the future. Here's a second one. I love this. Let go of the past, but keep the lessons it taught you. You may be here today, and that's your truth. What you need to plant into your heart. Let go of the past, but take the lessons it taught you going forward. And here's the last one. Live life as if everything is rigged in your favor. You see, in the book of Luke, when Jesus was about to be born, the angel talked about the favor of God resting upon mankind. Do you realize the favor of God is on your side? You can live today and tomorrow believing that life is rigged for your favor. I mean, circumstances go the opposite direction. But if you believe the favor of God, which the Word of God says we have, hey, it's rigged in your favor. The outcome will be yours. We have to reclaim what was taken from us. Point number two, as we think about this verse, arise, here's the second thing we have to do. We must engage in serving the community. We must engage in serving the people around us. Here it is in the Amplified, the first part of the verse. It says, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light is come. Let me break down a couple of words. The word shine, it means to light up, to become light. I want you to know that your life can light up other people. It says, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come. Light is a sense of dawning. It's the morning light. When you walk into a room, you can bring with you the dawning of Christ's presence. You light up a room because of Christ in you. And he says, I want you to take this now into the community. Read with me Matthew 5, 14 through 16 in your notes. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The word light at the first part of the verse, it means daylight, a lamp or a torch exposed to the view of all. Do you realize your life is like daylight? And when you walk into somebody else's life, you bring that daylight, that torch, that lamp with you. Now, Jesus says, if you want to make a difference in your community, there are times where you have to go out and just do the things that he's called us to do, called good deeds, and people will see the light, the daylight of your life. Been reading some material about church replants, and in this book it says, you know, one of the key markers is the church connected to the community. Is it relevant? Is it serving? And I'm thankful we have different ministries into the community through the Food Backpack Program and the Kids 252 and XP3 and soup and social events. But here's the deal. We have to continue doing that and do it more. You know why? We bring daylight into a community by our good deeds. William James put it this way: the greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. You want to feel good about life? Give yourself to something today that will outlast you. That will bring the greatest reward. Here's a quote from Martin Luther King. Life's most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? What are we doing for others in our community? And I'm grateful that we have a heart for wanting to continue to connect with the community. You know why? That's how communities are changed. When people bring daylight, a torch, a lamp with them into a community of through good deeds and serving other people. I've got in your notes, everyone in the church family needs an A and a B. Let me tell you what those are. Letter A, everybody needs a primary ministry. What does that mean? It means that when you figure out what you enjoy doing, your primary ministry of the church is when you're engaged in it. You give yourself to it. You connect your abilities with an opportunity, and that's your primary ministry. Everybody in the church, everybody, needs to be able to connect in a primary ministry at some place. Secondly, or letter B, everybody needs a secondary ministry. What is that? That's where sometimes we're not totally wired for it, but we're available for God to use. We're willing to be used in using our availability. And it's a secondary ministry, but I'd ask everybody here in the church family, you need a primary ministry and a secondary one, and you need to be able to identify it. You know why? You bring daylight into the community because of who you are. And Jesus said that when the people see the good deeds, it'll bring glory to God and it'll bless other people. Here's a quote on service. Only a life lived in service to others is worth living. Albert Einstein. Hey, bring daylight wherever you go. And here's the last one. You may not be able to read this, but I've got here it is. It's by George Bernard Shaw. Here's what he says. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. Isn't that a great thought? The harder we work, the harder we bring daylight to other people, the more I live on the inside. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It's a sort of a splendid torch, which I have got a hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. Your life is a torch. It's not just a flicker. It's a daylight torch, and he says, get a hold of it. Get a hold of the fire and the flame of your life. Make it burn so brightly as possible before handing it off to future generations. I'm excited about going forward once things start to open up. I'm excited about what we can do as a church family for the community. There's things that we need to restore to get back going again, but I believe there's new things we can connect with, new things that we haven't thought about, and you are part of it because you are connected in such a way that your daylight will fit that opportunity. And the more we do that, the more influence the kingdom is in a community, the more transformation takes place. We need to be engaged in serving the community, primary ministry and a secondary one. Point number three. The third thing we need to do to arise is this. We must make disciples that make disciples. You know, the mission of the church is to make disciples. And in the Amplified, it says, the glory of the Lord, the splendor, the richness of his holiness has risen upon you. Now, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, read this with me. It's in your notes. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Here's a quote by Saint Ignatius. The glory of God is man or woman fully alive. That's what the glory of God is. And it says the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. You see, if you are alive in Christ, you are living your life to the glory of God. There are probably 75 to 80% of people in Walton and in Delaware County that do not understand this. 4 out of 5 people in our county are missing the glory of God in their life. 4 out of 5. And so Jesus said, go and make disciples. Our mission, our business in life is to make disciples. That's right at the top. How do we do that? Well, we share what the gospel message is of Christ's death and resurrection. We lead people to faith, and then we do this. We progressively teach them how to continue to grow in a lifestyle of allowing God to live in them and through them. We make disciples who in turn can make other disciples. 2 Timothy 2:2, it says this, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men or women who will also be qualified to teach others. We want to make disciples who in turn will make disciples. 3 simple thoughts. Number one, to arise, we must reclaim what has been taken from us. It's a mindset. Number two, we must engage in serving the community. Bring daylight with you wherever you go. Number three, we must make disciples that make disciples when 4 out of 5 people we rub shoulders with in the community do not know what it means to be fully alive because God's glory can live within them. Well, let me close with the definition of arise. Here's what it says. It says, to get up from sitting, lying, or kneeling, to stand up, to come into being, arise to action. Here's my question. What is God asking you to get up on the inside for? I mean, what is he saying? Okay, it's time to leave it in the past, but take the lessons with you into the future. It's time to restore your mindset, to reclaim what was taken, to engage in serving others, and to make disciples that make disciples. What is he asking you to arise from, to be a better version of you? We're going to take communion in just a few moments. Pastor Jack will come. God does not want to waste the death of Christ. I mean, it was a painful death. And he wants to enrich each life that we come back stronger and better, even from the pandemic. He wants to take your life and make us arise in such a way that we will give him greater glory and honor individually and as a church. But on the individual level, what is God saying to you today? It's time to get up. Time to stand up. It's time to take charge. It's time to reclaim that which was lost. That's the message of the morning. Arise. Reclaim that which is lost. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. It's so relevant. We are people that need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to us to set us free from the past and to claim a better future and to move forward and to get up. We thank you that the death and the resurrection of Jesus himself makes that possible. So, Father, I pray you'll open every heart in this very moment and that your Spirit will speak into someone's life down in the depths of where they are struggling and where life has been painful, and that you will set us free because we are willing to get up, to stand up, to arise, because your voice has called us to do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So as a reminder, the first Sunday of the month, we come together, as was instructed by Jesus in the New Testament, for communion, because Jesus said, when you do this, and you do it often, you remember the sacrifice that I gave. You know, remembering's good, because if we don't remember things, we tend to go on and forget. And you have things you remember in your family, and you tell it to the next generation because they're important to you. This is a service of covenant. I want you to notice on the back of your bulletin the word on covenant. A covenant, as a reminder, it's an agreement between God and man. It's an accord whose terms are set by God. So we make covenant with God this morning. We make covenant with his son, Jesus Christ, by remembering his death and resurrection. I will begin reading where it says, Pastor, I invite you to then join us responsively where it has people. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You are the one true God who reigns forever. Yeah. You search our hearts and you know every part of us. All our desires are known to you, and from you no secrets are hid. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse our hearts so that we may perfectly love and glorify your holy name. The Christian life is a life found in Christ, redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. We are those who have entered into this life and have been admitted into this new covenant of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mediator of this covenant, and he sealed it with his own blood so that it would last forever. There are times in our lives when it is important for us to remember and reaffirm our promises and vows. We come today to renew our covenant with you, the Holy God. Today, make the covenant our own through Jesus who binds us all to God. We now confess to you our sins. Forgive us for the poverty of our worship, for the selfishness of our prayers, for our inconsistency and unbelief. for the ways that we have neglected your fellowship and your grace, for our hesitation to tell others about Christ. Forgive us when we have wasted time and not followed your ways. Forgive us when we have made excuses for the sinful things we have done, and when we have not heeded your voice and been obedient. God, the Father of all mercies, is faithful to cleanse us from our sins and restore us to Christ's image. Praise and glory be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now, in covenant, recommit ourselves to Christ as his servant. Let us give ourselves to him so that we may fully belong to him. Let us take care of the poor. Let us tell others of faith in Christ. Let us show mercy, be compassionate to all, and encourage the brokenhearted. Confirm now this truth to us in holy covenant. We have opened our mouth to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, and with God's power, we will never go back to our former way of living. We here and now accept you, Jesus, as the way, the truth, and the life. We join ourselves in covenant with you. With all our power, we accept you as our Lord and Savior. We vow that you are our Lord, our righteousness.
So the night he was betrayed, he had his meal with his disciples, and he said, took the bread, and he said, it represents his body, which is broken for us. And it was that breaking that became an acceptable offering to God. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. He then took the cup, and he said, it represents the blood that he would be shedding for the forgiveness of sins that can cleanse the deepest wound in our soul, the places we can't get to. He can apply the blood to our lives. And after the resurrection, he appeared to his disciples, and he was talking with them, and he says, as the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. And then it says he breathed on them. You see, when we partake of communion today, let God breathe on you. You know what he's doing? He's saying, get up. What do you need to release or get free from, healed of, so you can rise, so you can stand up? Whatever position or posture you're in, get up. He breathes on us. So it's a very personal experience. Open your heart to the influence of God's Spirit and let him breathe on you. It takes one breath to set us free. We just have to be open to his love. And so I'd like for you to take your elements. In the top part, you can remove the plastic wrapper and get the bread out, the little wafer. So this is a way to remember, but allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on you. So you break the bread and do it with faith and remembrance, saying, God, I believe in your death, and I'm going to celebrate the newness of life you can give me. You may partake. Then he took the cup. He said, this represents my blood. And the blood is powerful. I want you to lift your faith today. And I want you to say, God, breathe on me through the blood to help me to get up in the area I need to get up. But do it with faith and thanksgiving, and God will come close to you. You may partake. Would you please stand with me? Heavenly Father, we celebrate and we remember Jesus' death and his resurrection. And Father, this very moment, we just invite you to breathe on us, to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, just breathing into the area of our life where we are down and defeated and need your healing and wholeness. And Father, in the quietness of this moment, I pray you'll just speak to somebody here today, that you'll breathe on them and that they'll hear your voice say, it's time to get up. It's time to arise. It's time to stand for action. It's time to respond to the call to be a better version of me because of your grace. So, Lord, we just celebrate today that because of what you've done for us, we can arise today. Bless us as we go forth this week. Give us an amazing week in which we can bring daylight to the people who are still in darkness, and we'll make a difference in their world. And for this, we'll give you thanks. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.